I'm Bob Ewell from Monument, Colorado, and we are doing Linking the Local Church to Your Ministry. It is my great privilege to be here. I'm going to give a very short introduction, and after I give a short introduction, we're going to open it up to questions, because I hope the description of the workshop was sufficient to let you know that we're coming with questions, not answers. And that's why we wanted it called a think tank, because we truly are launching some initiatives here, and I want to see where we can go with this. So let me just walk through just a little bit of why I'm here. All week, since Thursday morning, people say, "What are you doing here? You're a CDM guy. What are you, And I must tell you that I met the Navigators in 1967, ROTC summer camp at Charleston Air Force Base, Nav Rep Mel Leader. So I go back to Mel Leader. Dave Cucci, does that name mean anything to anybody? No, but to you, okay. But Mel Leader was the rep, and never heard of the Navigators. And I was fortunate enough to be going to school at Clemson University. And Clemson was 30 miles down the road from Toccoa Falls, where the military had their conferences. And so three conferences a year in those days, week long, or at least 2 week longs and some in between. And so I went to maybe six conferences over a 2 year period. And so I knew every Navigator military guy that was in the Southeast region, which at that time was D.C. to Florida, in the late 60s. Many of them went on to become leaders. Joe Lee Holt was my rep when he was at Pensacola, and I was at Keesler Air Force Base. Are you at Keesler now? Well, see, there was no one at Keesler then. God has always put me where no one was. The guy who's now at Clemson was a student, and when I was there, I essentially got him started. I won't say came a Christian under me, but he and I met together. Mike Murphy is now at Clemson, and they brought Chuck Steen after I left. So I've always been the leading edge, and break the ground, somebody else comes. But anyway, so I have great history and respect for the military ministry, and God has seen fit to let me do a lot of my work in churches, and so CDM has been a fit for us. Although there are times, as you'll see in a minute, that I, sometimes wish we were somewhere else. But we're going to meet everybody in a minute, but I want to acknowledge my good friends at Fitzwaters in the back. Margaret and Roy are also on the CDM team, and I'm honored that y'all have come all the way from Woodland Park today to be here. So let me just show you why I want to do this. This is 2 months ago, February. I am commissioning my son, David, as a second lieutenant in the Air Force Reserves. This is, in fact, I'm going to stop right now before I go any further and pray, because as we speak, he is trying to land a plane in Pueblo. If he successfully lands that plane, he may be able to go through with pilot training. If he can't, he may not. So this is a critical time. And let me just stop here before I forget. Lord, thanks for just being able to be here. Thanks for the men and women that are serving you by serving our military. And I just pray that you'll guide our discussion this hour, that we will figure out how we can work together and how we can we can influence churches, how the churches can assist the ministry, how it all works together to advance the kingdom. Lord, I want to pray for David right now. Down in Pueblo as he's flying, learning to fly, I pray that you just give him strength and grace and confidence in you, and pray that you would help him to grow to be the officer and the pilot that you want him to be. Pray again for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. But when I was down there, and this is officer training school, I'm an ROTC product, and I spent a lot of time at the Air Force Academy. So OTS has always been, kind of out of the way for me, but they've moved it to Maxwell, and I've spent a lot of time at Maxwell. It used to be in San Antonio, but so I was really, really impressed the time that I spent at OTS. This is the mission, that I pulled off the website. And if I heard him say once, I heard him say 10 times in 24 hours, we are producing leaders in the world's greatest and most lethal Air Force. Most lethal. So, wow. You know, these people know what they are trying to do. And it says, we are producing officers of character, possessing the American warrior ethos, prepared to lead. I said, man. Moreover, we're going to exemplify the core values of integrity first, service before self, excellence in all we do. Ladies and gentlemen, that will preach. Okay, that will preach. And when you are not on the military bases every day, as I'm not, and when you are hanging around churches, as I do, this motivates the heck out of me. You know, I mean, it does. I hope you all know what you've got. You know, when you're out there working with military people. Now, there are other people in our culture that have a mission and know what they're trying to do, but nothing like, I don't think, the military. And so it's just a lot of fun to be around the military. And it's been fun for me to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to be here this week with you all. Another thing that lit my fire a little bit is Military Missions Network. I was in Norfolk back in October. How many of you are familiar with the Military Mission Network? No. Okay, you are. Started by a guy by the name of Gary Sanders, who was a pastor in Montgomery, Alabama, while I was there just recently, in 2001, 2006. His vision is to have cooperation between military chaplains, churches, and parachurch. Okay, so he's just so when he says network, that's what it is. It is a network. He is a connecting ministry. And so at this thing in Norfolk, the Campus Crusade NAVs were there, the military NAVs were there, in addition to some churches and some others who are trying to create churches that are not just military friendly. You know, a lot of churches are military friendly. Y'all come, we'll take care of you. But churches that see the opportunity to train and deploy the military member. That's what he's trying to do. So, and I'll speak more to that in a minute. But that kind of lit my fire a little bit from a CDM point of view. Let me just go over some stuff that I think I'm sure y'all know. But as we go to churches, one of the things that I want to bring to the forefront of CDM is here's a challenge to the churches. If you're in a military community, why would you want to do this? Well, do you recognize the military as a strategic people group? Doug just talked about that. The guys that stay in are going to be deployed all around the world. The military have special needs that we need to address. But the military members also understand important concepts. I mean, submission, you know, being on mission, all of those things are kind of built in. These are things you got to spin everybody else up on. But the military already got this. Yeah, I was talking to somebody, I'll never forget, a conversation around the table we had. This was back several years ago. I was in Alabama serving at this church. And there was a civilian couple. There was an OTS instructor, officer training school instructor couple, and us. And so they asked the OTS guy, what do y'all do there? And he told them about all the rules and all the stuff that the officer trainees do and what they can't do and all of that business. And the wife said, I couldn't live under such a system. You know, have somebody tell you what to do all the time. And I said, you understand, don't you, that submission is one of the key concepts in Scripture? You know, it's a big one. You know, but so military gets it. They also get 2 Timothy 2:2 because our whole system in the military is you train the next guy to do your job, right? Because you're going to advance or leave, and somebody else got to fill your slot. So, I mean, 2 Timothy 2:2 is built into their whole mindset. They're leaders, they're mobile, they're disciplined, they have a can-do spirit, and they will interact with world leaders. Gary Sanders, founder of Military Missions Network, likes to challenge pastors, and every now and then he runs into a recalcitrant pastor that says, well, Gary, come on. Are we going to have a special ministry to plumbers? Are we going to have a special ministry to every group there is? What are we going to do? And Gary said, well, if there were 400,000 plumbers and they were all highly educated, highly trained, a lot of initiative, and they were going to interact with leaders around the world, yeah, we'd have a ministry to plumbers. Y'all are sitting on a gold mine here. Y'all know about, of course, the extra problems, extra strains, post-traumatic, all that stuff, financial needs, spouses left alone. I mean, these are all ripe areas for ministry. They understand the concepts, as I said. So here's what I'm taking to CDM, and that is, why should the churches disciple the military? Well, then the churches will learn how to do intentional disciple making, which they don't know how to do now. So we go to a church and say, wouldn't this be great if you reached out to your military? Oh, yeah, that would be good. Oh, wait a minute. We don't know how to reach out to anybody. So if they could learn that, if they could develop a sense of urgency. Churches have the lifetime plan, right? Just keep showing up, and over time, good stuff will happen. Say, wait a minute. You're only going to have the guy a year. You may only have the guy 2 years. What are you going to do? Oh, we never thought about that. So tangibly understand mission. You can send people to Africa if you want, but here's a cross-cultural group right here in town. What are you doing to reach them? So we think this can be very catalytic to go to the churches and get them thinking in this way, and we think it'll spread. CDM can be a discipling resource to the military members, obviously in the churches, to the churches serving the military. In other words, the church says, we want to do this. Well, we in CDM can help them do that. We can be a resource, and I've just added this the last day or two, to military navigators influencing pastors. You guys are probably going to be on the ground in some churches. We're not going to ever be there. So you are the nav rep in that church. And so, can we be a resource to you as you work with the pastor and to the military chaplains to help them be more intentionally disciple-making? You guys are down on the ground training individuals. You also have an opportunity to expose pastors to that. Doug Nunke mentioned, a pastor who got his start from the navigators. Well, that happens all the time. Well, what if they didn't? What if they didn't? Well, now we've got to come in and now they're going to meet the navigators because you're there. And you're doing some things in their church. And they say, wow, this is pretty good stuff. And again, helping the church think about this intentional disciple making. So, let me just suggest a couple resources, and then I've said all I'm going to say. We'll launch some discussion. Shepherding Horses. How many of you are familiar with this book? Okay. This is a great little book. It's published by Kent Humphreys. I have a couple copies of it. It's a 30-minute read, purely 2 Timothy 2:2 and associated verses, but it's written for pastors. The idea is pastors like to shepherd sheep, but their powerful men in their church scare them, and they don't know what to do with them. And so what this book says is, hey, train them not to serve on your committees, but train them and send them back into their arena. So this is a good book, and if the pastor has never been exposed to the idea, this is a book that may help them. Another resource is this book, Intentional Disciple Making Church. It is a NAV Press book. It's again not a long read. It's 100 pages, couple hour read, but it exposes pastors to the idea that yes, we ought to be intentionally discipling people. Uses the analogy of golf, and the idea is to get the ball in the hole requires not only an impressive drive, and we all know you drive for show, you putt for dough, right? And so churches really, really do the driver really well. Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, they got that down. Say, okay, what about your mid-sized groups? What about your small groups? What about your one-to-one? That's what this book is about. And get some thinking in that direction. Ron Bennett, navigator out of the Kansas City area, he said, Jesus said, you make disciples, I'll build the church. And in fact, most churches have that backwards. I was just in a meeting not 3 days ago with a pastor who essentially says, I'm trying to build a big church and the disciples will happen. Okay. But Jesus said, you make disciples, I'll build the church. You know, so we get this back. So that's a good resource. It's an easy read, but it'll help them get into it. And I'm going to send you, in fact, let me circulate I had a handout. It was really good to pass this around. Everything I've said is on this handout. I'm going to circulate a little roster. I would like your email because I want to send you this article by Gary Sanders called The Fourth Missionary Journey. And he builds a theological case. It's longer than it would need to be for us, but for pastors who like that sort of thing, it is a study on how Acts 21 to 28, Paul was under the control of the military. And Gary argues that that was strategic in God's plan for advancing the gospel. That by exposing the gospel to all these Roman soldiers over the years, that the gospel advanced. So this is a good piece. I will send you an electronic copy of that. So please put your email down and you can have that. You can print it. You can't sell it, but you can print it and you can give it to your pastor. So if you'd please give me your email and also other information on there so we can kind of keep in touch. Having said all that, what are the challenges? Because what I'd like to see us do here is, you know, have a partnership between the churches. But what would it take for us, navigators, military, CDM, the churches, what would it take for us to work together? That's what we want to process. So I've told you all I know. And the rest of the time I want us to just articulate the questions and your challenges or whatever. Here's what I see off the top of my head. Incomplete database. One of the things I'm going to send you a list of CDM reps and where they are. I'm going to send you a partial list of churches because we don't know where they all are. So we have an incomplete database as we speak. And we're trying to do better with that. We will also supplement that with where you are. You know, I was telling Margaret the other day, right here in Colorado Springs, my wife went to a function back on Valentine's weekend. She came home. She says, do you know Tony Metcalf? I said, no. I said, well, Tony Metcalf's down at Vanguard Church, one of the churches in town. I said, okay. Tony Metcalf used to be navigator staff. Okay. He's running a full-blown men's ministry at Vanguard Church using High Quest men's material from Ron Bennett. Really? Well, shouldn't I know that? I should know that, but I don't know that. And so there's a church. If somebody were to call me tomorrow and say, Bob, where could I send a military guy in Colorado Springs that'll get some good training? Now I know. Not even my church. I mean, come to my church or come to Roy's church and we're doing some stuff, but here's another one. We don't even know. So we have an incomplete database. We got to do better on that. You guys got to know where your folks are going and where they end up, and we've got to do a better job. So I see that as a challenge that we should work on. I don't know if y'all have tried to do some stuff in the church, but if you have you noticed that church discipleship is hard? Have you figured that out? Here's the problem, and this is just fundamental. When you're doing a navigator ministry on a military base, you have who you have. You know who you got because they come to your meetings. And if they don't want to mess with you, they don't come to your meetings. It's a pretty simple system. That rule changes when you go to the church. Because now you got some population, and you don't know if they want to play or don't want to play. And that's one of the great challenges of working with the church. And I was just talking with Natasha yesterday down at Clovis, Cannon Air Force Base, and she said, I don't understand it. She says, my husband preached a great sermon there a couple weeks ago, and we talked about 2 Timothy 2:2, and we lined up some people and showed how it was working, and we were going to follow that up with some Bible study, and everybody said what a great service it was, but nothing happened. Say, yeah, just because I said it doesn't mean anybody heard it. I mean, it doesn't, right? I mean, that's why we do one-to-one. And small groups, because even when the pastor does it right, doesn't mean anybody got it. So that's part of the challenge. So that's all I got. So I am open and excited that y'all are here, and I want to know why you're here, and what you hope to get out of this. And Roy and Margaret, if you'll help me write down all the good stuff, and we'll all do it on paper pencil. Last time I let them take notes for me, it was on a computer, and they lost it on the way home. So. But if we do it with a paper pencil, maybe we'll still have it when it's over with. But let's quick go around who you are, where you are, and why you're in this room. So we'll start right here. Carlos.
I'm Carlos. I'm from Fort Carson.
Yeah.
I go to a church there in Colorado Springs.
What church? Okay, good. Another good one.
To me, it's kind of confusing how. The ministry that I'm involved in at Fort Carson relates to the church that I go to. I never even thought about that link before.
Okay. Okay. Good. Super good. So you know this guy.
I know that guy, Joel. We're BFFs.
John.
I'm from Fort Stewart. I won't be in the Army that much longer. So
you're active duty right now?
Yes.
Okay.
I am right now. Often we use the chapel as a fishing pool for men, and it gets kind of crowded. And I'd like to, you know, go to another pond. And in the South, there's a lot of churches.
Yes.
And, you know, I think of, you know, where the young people are, you
know, yep.
Trying to find or have good access to fish. But
yeah.
Other than that, I want to know. What kinds of things am I looking for? Am I looking for a weak church? Am I looking for...
Well, that's a good question. That's a good question.
I'm worried about how I'll be received by the pastor. I don't want to...
That's a good question. Okay, cool.
But I'm curious how that all works out.
And speaking of fishing pool, there are probably more, as an example, there are probably more officers and probably officers in this case, maybe in my church than there are at the chapel. Here in Colorado, in the Colorado Springs area, Woodman Valley probably the same. The fishing pool is just as big, if not bigger, in the churches as it is in the chapel in some communities. Okay, Rusty.
Rusty Bean at El Paso, Fort Bliss, Texas. And the reason I'm here is I've had several churches who are interested in what we're doing on post. I don't go to a civilian church. I'm involved with the chapel peddling. Matter of fact, I've been to one church in the El Paso area in the past 3 years for a visit. And I'm curious as to how much time, how much energy, and how I can link pastors/churches to what we're doing on base.
Good. That's a good question. Good. Well, that's one we want to process. Brother Jim.
Jim Downing, retired Navigator staff. I've done a lot of consulting work, and by little place I go, because of the Navigator's image, I get asked, what are we doing wrong? What do we need to do? And I'm glad you asked that because I've got the answer to it. I just told them that you need to do what Jesus did in the year and a half with the good seed. He did impart knowledge by teaching, skill by guided experience, character by modeling an example as what Christ did. Now, you guys think the solution to every problem is have a class on it. Our teaching performance, where you just said. I said, skill training, Jesus did it by guided experience. And they've already explained that. So I came to get up to date on what the CDM do to help them get guided experience.
Okay. Cool. Good question. We're honored that you're here. My friend Don Whipple is here because I wanted to connect him with Dave Mead. Again, if you can't figure out how to use an Iwo Jima veteran, then y'all are not being very creative. So Don is here because I invited him. And why else are you
here?
He's here. He's still learning. He's still casting about for ministry at age 85 now, or still 84? 84. But you'll be 85 soon.
No, 84. So I'm 83 right
now. Oh, you're 83. You'll be 84. Okay. But anyway, veteran of Iwo Jima, and still hitting it, still learning. Thank you. Glad that you're here. Yeah. Just a young guy. Joel
Yerkowski, NAV staff, Fort Carson. And churches confuse me, especially when it comes to relating to military ministry. When I was on active duty, I went to churches, went to chapel, but I never felt like I connected to a church. And so when it comes to thinking of how churches can be linked to the military ministry, that is a totally an unknown to me.
Okay, good. Henry, is that you hiding back there? Challenge. Okay. Nate.
My name is Nathan Hines. I'm from Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and I'm also involved in a challenge of post. I think one of the main things that I'm concerned with is that a lot of people that I work with are concerned when it comes to me, what church do you go to? It's like, well, I go to the Temple and Post, and I'm involved in that paid ministry. So I was using my sales pitch for getting guys involved and asking them, can I springboard into, you know, where you're spiritually. But they're not interested in coming on post.
Hmm.
They usually on the weekends they want to get smaller than
them. Right.
So they say, well, what do you want to do? And I offer up, as a last resort, a few churches that I've heard are pretty strong. One in particular that I always offer up, the guy was former NAV staff, and he's pretty good at disciple, small groups and stuff like that. But I usually try to get the guys to come in, and where I can kind of just monitor,
sure,
two tabs, all the one pull it easier. So it's more convenient for me that I want to get to come to chapel.
Right.
So finding a way to, I guess, get guys put in the church, but also grow. It's just,
That's a great observation. That's a great challenge. I mean, but if you knew who was in the church and you were meeting with him, then you know where they're going. So that's part of the network.
My name is Rob Dittmer. I am coming on staff, heading to West Point.
Oh.
I live in Austin, Texas area. Was active duty for a while. ETSO 4 stayed in the reserve component. So, guess why I'm here is because I'm interested to learn a little bit more about how it seems like parachurch organizations, quote unquote, the navigators types, Campus Crusade, and the local churches seem to be in competition with one another in a lot of places. And they don't understand that we're all part of Big C Church
right.
across the world, and the navigators is just an extension of the local church, I believe, or should be. And if I'm a nav rep out in the field, I should be also be plugged into a local church or a chapel on post and coming alongside the leadership of that entity as well, and being the guy who goes out and is sent into the community and helping energize that local body to do the same, whether it be mentorship, discipleship, me myself being discipled too, because I have a lot to learn as well.
Yeah. Well, this is good, and what, you know, I explain our ministry to sometimes to ourselves and sometimes to folks like you. Say, look, we work with men same as you do. I just make sure some of the men I work with are pastors. You know, I mean, that's and we don't call it coaching the pastor. We don't call it discipling the pastor. But I do meet with pastors, and it's amazing. They'll say, you know, I appreciate what you did with my leadership team, but he said, I appreciate what you're doing with me, because nobody ever did this with me before. I don't know how this works. Yeah, and so, yeah. So, you know, this is, and like Doug Nunke pointed out, if you can reach a pastor, then he is the gatekeeper to hundreds of other folks and thousands. And that's why we do what we do. Yes, sir.
Dave Besko, I'm active in the Army. Right now I'm assigned to Naval Post Grad School, getting a master's degree there. My wife and I felt led to start a Bible study out there in Monterey for the Defense Language Institute students there. Soldiers, sailors, airmen, and marines getting language training there. We were originally going to do it like Rusty with the chaplain, working out of the chapel. Bob Ream, the local navigator staff there, talked us into doing actually in a local church. So that's
great.
What we've launched the
great.
Local church right now for a number of reasons. One, it was probably the best fishing hole for those students. It's a church right outside of DOI that everyone walks to, and that's where most of the students go.
Great.
So we have just, it's been about 6-9 months now, kind of a big experiment, and so I just kind of wanted to hear, you know, is what we're doing the right way to go about that, or is there better ideas?
Well, cool. Well, this is fun. So, thanks.
Zeddy Kratz with my wife, Carol, we're at Luke Air Force Base in suburban Phoenix, and the area where the base is an area that's really expanding. A lot of houses, a lot of new people moving in accordingly, a lot of new churches. And so all these new pastors that come to shepherd these new flocks or whatever, they always contact the chaplains like, how can we get at the people in your... And invariably, they pass these pastors to me and I take them out to lunch.
Oh, cool.
And but... And they have no vision for the base. They're trying to populate their churches.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's very adversarial.
Yeah.
And they have no vision for the base. It's like we need some more offering kind of contributors at our church here. And so basically I said, well, you know, my ministry's got a fence around it. And I'm trying to get people to focus on the base. And we minister the chapel like Rusty and all the people in our ministry. I'm trying to get them to focus and reach other people on the base.
But God has apparently called you as a missionary to pastors, because you have a chance to influence them. And
they're sort of
short-sighted. Well, yeah, and I'll tell you why. One of the guys I work with is not rocket science, but he's in a startup. He's the guy that keeps. He just wants to build it. So yeah, because if they don't get it up to a certain level, they can't get paid. It's a simple system. You know, you need about, depending on how you run the numbers, 100 to 200 folks minimum before if you're starting from scratch. You got to build a building. You got to pay a few salaries, including mine. You know, I mean, you know. So, but you can help them. And some of these tools, and the one I send you on from Gary Sanders. You know, if they're serious about missions, and here they are in a military base, maybe it'll wake some of them up. So,
that's why I'm here.
Well,
you know, interestingly, we had a couple singles married by one of these guys three weeks ago, and he says to me, like, wow, I've never met men like this.
Yeah.
And the couple that got married kissed first at the altar.
Wow.
He said, every couple I've ever married in my church lives together.
Yes.
I've never met men like this.
Yes.
That
yeah.
This kind of spiritual altitude. And he's like...
How do you do that? Let me show you. I mean, you know, so this is good. Yes, ma'am.
I would say, too, that much of the challenge for us happens because we are so supported by the chapel.
Right.
Our ministry happens sort of through the chapel, even though we're navigator representatives. So many of the activities and so on are partially funded by the chapel. So mm-hmm. there's a loyalty that happens there. And it's difficult to find the balance.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd be thrilled if they thought we were sending people through the local church.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a good question. Willie.
My name is Willie Page. I'm at Keesler Air Force Base for 2 years, and the reason I'm here is for all the time I've been with the navigators, 27 years, I've always went to the chapel, and I feel kind of disconnected a little bit to the local church. And I wanted to be able to, and lately I've been going to a local church.
Which one?
It's called the Edgewater Christian Fellowship.
Okay.
The pastor knows the navigators. He knows them like this. They memorize scripture and they minister to men.
Right.
So that's all he knows.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something.
Yeah. So my whole point is I want to be able to somehow, well, I mean, I also like to... just find out how, you know, what's going on in the church. It is very hard to decipher the church. I would not do it.
Yeah, it's a challenge. Roy and Margaret.
Roy and Margaret Fitzwater, and from Willow Park, Colorado, involved in church discipleship, but also have a keen interest in the military. We have a son at Anderson Air Force Base in Guam, and another son that's a sophomore at the Air Force Academy. So care very deeply about what you guys are doing, and I would love to see how we can partner more effectively between church and military.
Okay. The I did want to share, you know, a couple quick scriptures, and then we'll go back into our discussion. You know, one of the obvious ones, of course, is Matthew 9, and I tell this to every church we go to. Jesus said we only have a shortage of one thing.
Yeah.
We don't have a shortage of materials. We don't have a shortage of really. We don't even have a shortage of churches when you think about it. I'll be at a church tomorrow. That is literally, there are literally in a four-block square, there are three churches out of four blocks. And that's where I'll be tomorrow morning. But we don't have a shortage of anything but laborers. You know, and I am in CDM precisely because I don't want those church people to get off the hook. You know, that's a potential labor pool. And God can call some of those people out of the... lethargy is coming to mind. That's probably not the right word. But, you know, you show up for church, you go home. You show up for church, you go home. Well, can we be involved in actually advancing the kingdom? And I saw this verse the other day as I was reading Deuteronomy. And churches came to mind. Verse 62 of Deuteronomy 28. And if you... this is not the interpretation, but I think it's an application. Whereas you were as numerous as the stars of heaven, you shall be left few in number because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And I thought, wow, how many churches are they closing the doors? Some of them were cathedrals. Some of them were mega churches. I know a church in Alabama, the one I served in, If something doesn't happen, it is possible that they won't survive, and they certainly won't survive as a megachurch. And the jury's out on a lot of churches right now. And I think I can say that you can stall out anywhere. You can stall out at 100, or you can stall out at 500, or you can stall out at 5,000. And then I ran across this verse that as you were as numerous as the stars of heaven, you shall be left few in number because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. That's the challenge, I think, to the churches. God doesn't need your building. And if you want to be in business, best you be obedient. And best you make some disciples. So that's kind of why we're here. And I think in the best of all worlds, let's just start out there. I think in the best of all worlds, wherever you are, you would not only have the chapel as a resource, there would be churches in your community, at least one, maybe more than one, where disciples are being made. And where people can go if they have families and they don't want to come on base on the weekend. And somebody says, they don't want to do base on the weekend. They want to get off base. Okay? Here's a place you can go. That's the best of all worlds. And, moreover, you're there. And maybe you find that church where you start helping that church become more, you know, engaged in actually making disciples. I see us all working together on this thing. And so the question is, what can we do to, what are some of our challenges and what are some things we can write down as action steps? And I will tell you this, you military guys, I talked with Dave Mead, and the reason I'm here, doing this workshop is because Dave Mead said we should do this workshop. And this was just a couple weeks ago. But Dave says, you know what? People are in the churches. And if we want to reach the families, not all those families are in the chapels anymore. There's some of them in churches. And we need to be there for them. And so this is coming down from, you know, the poobah. And I'm glad. I think we're going to cooperate, and it's all going to be good. So what do you see as the challenges that we can work on, and what do you see as some of the first steps? Let me just throw both questions out at once, and let's just talk, you know, from now until lunchtime. Yes, sir.
I'm sort of disconnected in my mind relative to my experience with local church. I don't know what they can offer today. So that's my number one question. All I see is they see the base as a resource to populate their facility. I wonder, what can the local church offer our ministry on the base?
Okay.
First, I'd agree with Zeddy. For me, I think one of the biggest challenges, I don't trust the churches.
Right.
Because if somebody in my ministry goes to a church, I'll probably never see them again.
Right.
Because their focus will become the church, involved in activities in the church. You know, it'll be nice and comfortable for them, but they won't be involved in the ministry.
Okay. Good questions.
I know what the church offers young military guys on the base. They're all cute little college girls. I know what they offer and what the lure and attraction is.
Okay, besides cute college girls. I'm going to get that down. Well, this is great. This is wonderful.
Zay and I have probably talked about this whole time. What he's saying is exactly, you know, I mean, there are churches out there like Denver, New Life, you know, huge. Got, I don't know what, you know, 10,000 small groups, you know, if you want to be a...
1,000 small groups, 10,000 members, but anyway.
Well,
yeah.
You know, if you want to join a small group that likes small caliber handguns, you know, there's a group for that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's...
That's true.
They're doing great stuff. They're running, having a great time. I just never see any of that impacting the base in terms of outreach, discipleship. You know, so there's these guys running around there having a great time, but...
Yeah.
But I don't know what they bring to the base.
Yeah, that's good. That's excellent.
Can I ask a question? I'm pretty ignorant when it comes to the kind of ministry that happens on bases overall, other than the Air Force Academy, because our son is there right now, but there is no ministry. But what kind of ministry do bases offer to children of the military?
When I was at the station at Fort Hood, I was connected with a local church because, quite frankly, the chapel system there was kind of broken and very, very shallow. I wasn't getting fed like I needed to. I was involved with the Navigator ministry, also in town with the local network. But what that enabled me and my cohort to do, a couple of projects tonight, we were living together. We went back and we poured into the youth through MCOM, which is Military Community Youth Ministry, both at the middle school and high school level. And they have Wildlife, too, which is the elementary age. So I saw it as a, in my experience, the local church helped enable me to go more into the youth of the community on the coast. I don't know, that's, apparently there's some territory issues where you don't trust the local church or the Galway resource to the ministry on the coast at some place. But that's what Fort Hood was like, so I guess a different experience. That's what they have.
It's like a box of chocolates. Depending on your base.
Yes.
You never know what you're going to get. So some bases have really developed outreach to children, and it also depends on the age you're talking about. So there's some variables in there that really depends. Based on my experience. You know.
And based on experiences of all you guys have here that have been on bases, is it your experience that most chapels have word-focused biblical teaching?
I can't say most. It's like a box of
chocolate. That is, you know, from talking with people we have, that is right. Kind of what I've heard too. And you know, church outside of base is the same way. It's a box of chocolate. But what we're trying to do, the churches we're working with, are in our minds the dark chocolate, the ones that we really like. They're the ones that are word-focused, disciple-making churches.
Yeah. And another difference is the our box of chocolates are routine. Every 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
It's a great one here. And
yeah.
Yeah. You're always in the bell curve.
Right.
I mean, it's hot, hot, hot. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's always.
It's never determined or never figure that out. So I think it's just the churches get more longevity, more stability than most little church owners.
Yeah. John.
Our ministry too is to a certain age group, you know, 18 to 25, they might not have families, they mean, so a lot of the time is spent with them. And if they are married, they don't have children yet. So a lot of times, that's not really an issue. And of course, we offer Bible studies for families. We have couples Bible studies, and so a lot of times it's just part of the ministry.
Okay, John and then Zeddy.
Just from my own perspective of what the church offers me, being part of the Navigators on Post or whatever, is fishing is an art. You know, it takes a lot of practice. And so it gives me an opportunity to go try it, especially if it's going to have a place where there's going to be more fish.
Yeah.
And maybe I have a better chance.
So you see, so it's a double edged. I mean, if you sent, or if a trained guy, one of your trained guys, was at say New Life, for him that's a target rich environment. Okay, but if New Life grabs them before you're done with them, then are they going to get the training? Probably not. I mean, that's the.
I mean, our big issue is we got more ministry, we got people to do it, so there's not concern about finding another place to fish.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Zeddy, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I've been around the military 45 years, and when I was active duty, I rarely met a spirit-filled chaplain, a real Christian in my mind.
Yeah. Sure.
But where God has the military these days, for how God is using the military in all these Muslim countries and everything, there are many evangelical chaplains that God is calling into the military now. And most of our chaplains are really spirit-filled, Bible-preaching, believing people.
Are they disciple-makers?
No,
they're pastors.
They're pastors.
They don't have that vision that we would have. We believe in that vision.
Some of them. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, we have in the Air Force, we have several chaplains that have been around Navigator Ministries, and now they're associate staff.
Right.
As chaplains.
Right.
And
those are really few and far in between.
But see,
they understand the vision, may not be able to implement it because of their environment.
Okay, so here, but here's the thing that I'm going to write down as a challenge. We need to know where they are. That's part of the database. Now, part of the database is the churches. Part of the database are these chaplains. Who are these godly chaplains and, you know, and godly, comma, disciple-making chaplains? I mean, if you can get both, that's even better. But we don't know where they are. They're few and far between in the church world, too. But
you need to know where they are?
So we can connect with them.
So who can connect with them? Because I know where my guys are.
We're talking about the chaplains.
I'm talking about the chaplains.
But
suppose one of his guys moves to your area. Can you connect? I mean, we're trying to connect.
That's who guys, and what is the guy? Like a soldier or a chaplain?
No, a soldier.
Well, see, the networking in the Army is, one of my goals is to build relations with the chaplains so that they have a favorable impression of the navigators, so that when they go to Fort
Right.
Yeah, tie in with the navigators. There's a connection there.
Within the Army, we're not lacking as much.
Okay. Okay.
It's the outside.
Okay.
Of the Army,
okay.
That we don't have a very good networking.
Okay.
One thing about the kids, I would say that more people would go to a church out in town because of the children programs, and they would stay on
Yeah. And here's the other issue, going back to the chaplains. Is there a way that we in CDM can come alongside them and resource them and help coach them? You know, while you guys are doing the on-the-ground ministry, can we be a resource to the chaplains? That's the question.
If you can give them more time, then yes, I would say you can resource them.
But it keeps them pretty busy.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of my ministry is to chaplains. Because they have nobody to talk to. They can't, if they're a senior guy, they can't talk to anybody. They're chain of command, they can't talk to the underlings. It's like a fraternity that nobody communicates. Nobody deals with hard issues. So I connect with every chaplain, take them to lunch, and I hear all their stories. I mean, there are people in the chaplaincy and their marriages are broken and they're going through the motions. And nobody knows the pain. Like in the church, same thing.
And I have the same ministry. I mean, we all have that same ministry with the pastors because they won't talk to anybody.
We do that on the basis where we're located. You CDM guys could do it where there's no NAV reps if there's a base in that vicinity.
Right.
But those military chaplains are really
okay. Okay. Right.
Have no time. If you call them up, they wouldn't give you any time, I'm sure. Because they don't see that they have any capacity to meet with a guy, even if when it's for their good. They couldn't back that in or justify it, probably timeline.
Okay, good.
I think that, you know, I can see a local church as a resource if they knew what they were doing. But if you... If you're going to be if you're a local church and your understanding of discipleship is, you know, come to our church and stay there 10 years and read all these books and then you'll be a disciple.
Right.
It's not going to work.
Right.
So the problem is, I'm not sure if you can take a local church who doesn't have any experience in the military and then say you are going to be able to disciple the military.
Right.
I think more is a guy like Carlos going to that church. And he may connect with military guys there, and then say,
let me just say, when I went to Norfolk back in October for the Military Mission Network conference, I mentioned, you know, to my Tuesday morning men's group, this is where I was going. I won't be here next week. I'll be in Norfolk doing this thing. Guy came up afterwards. He says, that sounds really interesting. He said, I'd like to be involved in that. He is not a military guy. Now, he could be. He's got the, he could be. He works for the school system, but he's young. He's energetic, you know, and he sees the, you know, so there's a trainable guy and they're out there, you know, and I think that's the issue. Don.
Well, I don't think most pastors even know what discipleship is. I think it started in the Bible class.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, and that's what Doug was
program.
Saying. Yeah.
Program.
Yeah. Yeah, and so when we introduce, you know, some of our material, by the way, you have your own materials. I don't know if you've seen, I just happened to bring it in here, the Adventure of Discipling Others. Have you seen this? This is a tool that's written by Ron Bennett and John Purvis. But you guys would like this. If you're looking for tools, this is NAV Press. That kind of goes through a lot of stuff navigators do in an organized way to teach people how to minister one-on-one or in small groups. That's a good tool. If you didn't know about it, there it is. Adventure of Discipling Others. And it's NAV Press.
Yeah, it's really targeted at helping a small group a small group of people, 4, 5, 6. Anyway, spent several months in the first phases of it, first 3 or 4 lessons, there's 12 total. It's really kind of core, this is what submaking is all about, and here's some major things. Find another person, start discipling, and let's learn along the way. So the last 8 lessons are kind of, let's talk about, it's on the job training.
Yeah.
Churches that don't have a clue.
Yeah, and you will see stuff you've seen before. I mean, Born to Reproduce is in there. Stuff by Scrip Gray is in there. All the, stuff of Claiming the Promises is in there. Praying for Your Folks is in there. All that, it's all there. And you look at it and say, oh, wow. So it's packaged nicely. I'm using it with success, in my church, in several churches, but I'm using it with, I've got guys that are going through, and then we got other guys, so that between the 5 of us, 2 of them went through it last year, 2 of them are new, and so the 2 that went through last year, it's just really been good, and it helps people think outside themselves. Carol.
So it sounds like maybe the best solution is, talking about Carlos, that Zeddy continues to have Bible studies and so on with guys who have chosen to become involved in a local church. So continuing that same training and giving them the vision for ministering to military guys.
Right. Yes, thank you.
Or Rita, back the second president of Navigators, Lawrence Sandy, made a statement once, and he concluded that Navigators are not church reformers. The best ministry we can have the church is to provide qualified laborers. I just want to tell one story. Colorado Springs, I met a Presbyterian minister once, and he told me, he said, I can tell you, every person in my congregation is meeting with a navigator. He said, I've never asked, nobody's ever told me. I said, well, how do you do that? He said, well, first he begins to come alive. He's faithful in the church. He begins to work in the lives of others and has an outreach. So as he's influenced, it will solve it. And I thought that was interesting that he didn't say, we've got something structured going on. He said, I can just tell. So I wonder if Warren might be right on it, that the best contribution we can make is to provide them with qualified laborers. When I talk to pastors, I'm out of this. I tell them I really have my sympathy, because it's like Timothy 2:2 said, to teach faithful men also. But my observation is that the average pastor, the sharp edge of his energy and time is taken up with the unfaithful. And so he can't do it. Somebody else has to come in and do it. And fortunately, there are some of the pastors who want help. We had a representative over at Czechoslovakia that with the students, we had a little extra time. So he went to visit the pastor and told him, he believed what he could offer and so forth. So the pastor listened very carefully. After Sue, he said, see that picture on the wall? And I looked over, and it was a flock of sheep, a shepherd with his crook up in front of him. And then in the bushes, were the eyes of a wolf looking out, stood out the shadows there. And he had his staff all ready. He told our pastor, he says, see that picture? The sheep? That's my flock. I'm the shepherd. You're the wolf.
That really relates to where I'm sitting a little bit differently, in that pastors are interested in what we're doing. We have some guys, a guy that was discipled by Joe Holt, who's now at Fort Bliss as a civilian. And he really likes what he's doing. He helps our small groups. He wants to see what we're doing, assistance, into the local church. What advice would you have for someone where we have about three different churches that like what we're doing. But I really don't have the time to do my ministry and help these guys. So I don't know if you had any thoughts on that. Or...
Yeah, I think that observation I mean, is wider than the culture, you know, just the average in general. What can they do?
One thing you can do is put them on to us. You know, if he wants to know and you haven't got time to help him, refer him to us, and because we do telephone coaching and, you know, all kinds of things.
Here's the case. I said I don't have the time. I don't know what I don't know is what I mean to say.
Right.
I don't know what it would take, and I really haven't explored because I'm afraid of reneging on the ministry that God has given me.
Right.
So I've really not touched this.
Right.
Are you saying that he wants to know how to do that kind of ministry on the post or how he can develop disciples within his church?
Yes.
Both.
Both.
Yes. Because, see, I think that the way to start is to get CDM involved with that church because they can teach them how to do discipleship.
Right.
And then they can see if they can expand that ministry into the church.
Well, what Gary does in our Bible study, everyone in the church loves what he's doing. And so, but Gary is a civilian, full-time job, seven kids, doesn't have the time to really train these guys. And so he's trying to liaise between his church and us. And I really don't know what I don't know when it comes to
Again, that's what we're here for. We want to be a resource to you. I think that's one of the services we can provide. And as we get this car in motion, then we can tweak it, you know. But you know, we all know you can't steer a parked car. So we get stuff in motion, and then we'll learn what we can do. Because we know some stuff. Well, yeah. How many of y'all are familiar with the 2-7 series written 30 years ago now? Okay. The sole purpose of the 2-7 series was to take Navigator stuff and put it into the church, and pace it out so a church guy wouldn't run away after the first week, because you know the pace of ministry, you know, in the military and the collegiate environment is much faster than what you can do, you know, in a church. So that was the vision behind 2-7. It's a little bit dated right now, but it's still, you know, the ideas in it are good. And we have some other tools that you guys probably don't even know about that
so
would be useful.
What you're probably saying is there's not going to be much of a link between them and us.
Not necessarily, but
that's where my question revolves.
Yeah, I see it working always. I can either coach you, or you can put us, and I say me, but one of us, or we can coach him directly, or we can coach both of you. I mean, we can.
Well, I'm thinking more symbiotically than just helping them.
Right.
Trying to find a symbiotic relationship.
Okay.
Yeah, and so that's my struggle.
Let me just make a comment. We have a new tool that's going to, we're going to actually train all of our staff in November. It's a tool called the Alongsider. Mm-hmm. It's a new tool, outstanding. And it's going to work really well with our churches because, you know, in the past, churches have been very guilty of just trying to bring everything into the church. The churches that we're working with are intentional disciple making churches, our IBC churches. We are helping to. What we're trying to do at the core of CDM is to help church leadership help their church to become, to have sustainable cultures of evangelism and discipleship, sustainable. So we're trying to put all kinds of things in place for that. And one of the things that they're learning to do is to be very missional and helping to train laborers to look at the areas that God has placed them in. And to begin to pray and come alongside those people. And to hopefully be able to share Christ with them and then grow them up in Christ. Now, if what you're saying is true, and there's a significant number of people that want to leave base on weekends and they're attending churches, there's no reason why those churches can't be training those people in discipleship and in evangelism to pray for and come alongside those people that they work around, which are people on the base. Some of those people on the base may choose to go to chapel, some of them may choose to go to church outside, but I see it as a huge synergistic thing. So churches, you know, when you talk churches, and we do this too, there's such a huge difference in the kind of churches out there, and there aren't very many real disciple-making churches. The disciple-making churches, I think, are, and you know, NAS overall is taking much more a kingdom approach, much more kingdom-focused approach. And churches are doing that too, if they really have God's vision. And God's vision isn't just to grow the church, it's to grow the kingdom. And if there's a base next to them that they can send laborers in or train laborers to grow the kingdom, regardless of which church they end up, I think you'll see a difference in some of these pastors and churches.
Well, I mean, we all like the idea of, you know, churches developing disciples who come to the base and their laborers and helping. And that's a great concept. And it's like you said it one time, you know, you can have a quiet time anytime. It's just that I've never seen anybody do it well other than in the morning. So you can have these all these great ideas. The problem is, I got a ton of churches in Colorado Springs. How many of them actually are coming to the base and laboring? None. So it's a great concept. It's just not happening. And I don't know how it's going to happen. What we've actually seen is not the churches, but we've actually seen individuals. Like we had the Darren and Alice Rouse, and they had a heart for military. They were going to, they go to Woodland Valley, I think. And they said, they came to us and said, look, we have a heart for military ministry. What can we do? Hey, great. You know, and they, for probably close to 2 years, they were ministering with us down in Fort Carson. Now, they're not doing that anymore. Why is that? They're too busy. They got too many things going on in their church. They can't do the discipleship down in Carson. There's another guy here. His name Fred Smith. And he's got a heart for the military. So what does he do? He contacts us and says, well, how can I be involved? My concern with Fred Smith is he's going to get involved in the church, and pretty soon he's going to be too busy. So, that's the issue. What I would like to see is the churches be willing to free up people who have a heart for ministry
yep.
to the military to come alongside us.
What you're saying about churches is true not just in the military, it's in everything. I mean, churches got people so busy, they can't talk to their neighbors.
That's right.
You know, I mean, that's, we're trying to do away with programs and help, I mean, by churches doing less, they can do more.
Well, we run the same thing with the Navigator programs on base, because you can get a guy involved with so many Christian activities on base that he never gets to hang out with the guys he works with.
There's a church in the Austin area where I live that it's too far for me to go. I've got some friends that go there, and they are, it's a High Point Baptist Church, are affiliated with Nine Marks Ministry Church Network, and John Piper and those guys in the world. And they are developing their own military ministry to minister to family members and soldiers on post, wherever that may be, of deployed soldiers or whatever that is. So they're in the fledgling stages of doing that, and they're enlisting help of military members that attend that church to help lead the building of that group so that we can launch. So, and so far it's looking really good. And my buddy Paul, who's part of that, has asked me to help get that going too with some inputs to go forward. But that's another way to do it. So if the church embraces that as one of their committees, you can call it, to minister to the military and put some support behind it, they can give their scope and let them have at it and get the backing of the pastor saying, go be sent. So.
Yeah, there's something that I discovered just listening to you guys thinking about this is one thing, guys want to know where you're going to church. You know, they always ask you, where do you go? And I was going to the chapel, but now I go somewhere else. And so they all follow you. You know, they want to go where you go. And another thing I find as a shepherd, I can protect them from the activities of the church.
Right.
I tell them, if you go there and you get involved in all these things, which are great, you won't do the things
right.
that are even better. I said, now, that's what you're going to face. And I've had many guys filter off, just go somewhere else. I said, okay. But I see that as a shepherd, I come along and say, they're the wolf. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They want to steal my sheep because they want to feel their hat as they pass it, as I see all that. And so I think, man, I protect them. I take them where I go so I could be part of that whole thing, if that's the case. There was a church in our area, a Calvary church. Good church. Good pastor. And his whole youth group was my ministry. They all went on Wednesdays. And then I went to him and tried to hit him up for money. He says, well, we don't really know you. I said, what? Did your whole youth group is the people I'm ministering to. And I know the pastor, and the second, the youth pastor, or whatever it was, we met regularly. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, that's how you want to do it. I didn't take a bad attitude. But I thought the whole thing is they would have really nothing now in this church if it wasn't for me allowing them or doing with them, connecting with them, going with them. So we can sometimes these churches off base, if they want to go, they follow us. You know, when I take guys fishing, they don't want to come back if they don't catch them. But if they catch something, then they want to go again. And if I catch something, I'm leading the way. I'm showing them how to do it. And I see that many times, many times. It's anything. If I can be successful at it in front of them, they will do it. So taking a guy to a church, because I know a chapel sometimes can be dead end. You go 1 week and you get a great preacher, and next week the Mormons speak.
Yeah.
You go, man.
Yeah.
So I think you can role model by taking him and going him or protecting him.
But the reality really is that we are dealing in an environment where these guys, we might have 3-4 months.
That's right.
And then they are on their own for a year.
Yeah.
And so this idea of, well, we'll get fed at the church. Well, guess what? When you deploy, you ain't going to be, the church ain't going. Yeah.
And that's what you should tell them. Listen, you need what you need now. What do you think you go to basic training for? They just don't put a uniform on you and send you to Iraq. So you can say, man, you need this to fight not only the war, but the spiritual battle in your heart. You need what we're giving you.
Right.
And
see, and that, once you that focus that we have on that mission,
yeah,
to get these guys trained to feed themselves. I don't
That's
think
right.
the church has that.
No, they don't. They don't. Their longevity, and they many times they say, now when your friends, and not that you know, well, how do I do that? I mean, that's, they do everything.
Okay, we have identified some good problems, which was where I thought we'd go. And we, in, let me just say, we in CDM want to come along any way we can, and help you. We all are aware of what the church will do to you, whether even as Margaret and Roy said, in our own ministries. You know, you're trying to get a guy to concentrate on meeting with men, and he can't even do that because he's too busy serving on too many committees. And so that's an ongoing issue. However, I think there are some godly pastors, godly churches out there, and we want to cooperate as best we can. And we want, and again, the bottom line, we want to help y'all. So if we can help you, let us know. I'm going to be sending you some stuff. I've got everybody's email. I'm going to be sending you some things that I hope will be helpful. If you connect with the pastor and you ain't got time to talk to him, send him to us, and we will make sure that we get somebody that will do that. By the way, I'm not the director of CDM. I'm just the Colorado Springs guy. Margaret and Roy are on our director's team. Sam Hershey is our point person, I guess. And I don't know if you know Dennis Blevins, an old Navy guy, is still involved.
Can I make a quick announcement?
You bet.
I'm doing a workshop on maximizing your chaplain ministry tomorrow afternoon, which is specifically focused toward chapels, but it's got really applications. If you're
a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff we're talking about based on the book of Daniel. So, you know, we're going
to pick up with that left on it.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, I think just having us talk about it.
It's been very useful for us, and I'm going to try to collate our notes and send those out to you as well, and we'll see what happens over time. And him I can talk to sometime over coffee, and we'll. Yeah. Okay, let me pray for us. Lord, thanks for this time, and for the hearts that are represented here, for the folks that are just trying to. We're all just trying to raise up folks and send them out. And there are challenges. Sometimes we feel like things are working against us. I know we on the church side would love it if the churches were not working against us. And we're trying to do something about that. Pray for all these guys that are out, you know, on the front lines, working with the military who are also on another kind of front line. And just pray for your strength and energy for them. And Lord, if there's anything we can do to continue to serve each other, help us to figure that out. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. Thanks for coming. This has been very useful. And we'll see what happens.